The wise woman. A wise woman who was traveling in the mountains found a precious stone in a stream. The next day she met another traveler who was hungry. And the wise woman opened her bag to share her food. And the hungry traveler, he saw the precious stone. And he asked the woman to give it to him. And so she did without hesitation. And the traveler left, rejoicing in his good fortune. He knew the stone was worth enough to give him security for a lifetime. But a few days later, he came back to return the stone to the wise woman. "I've been thinking," he said. "I know how valuable this stone is, but I give it back in the hope that you can give me something even more precious. Give me what it is you have within you that enabled you to give me this stone." Sometimes it's not the wealth you have, but what is inside of you, which others need. Anyone here check your email today? Or log on to a website or Google something on the way in? Or read the news online? Okay, maybe yesterday, maybe this morning was a little early for you. Every internet millionaire, YouTube star, and every single one of us users owes a debt to Sir Tim Berners-Lee, the creator of the internet. An Oxford-educated physicist, he stitched together the core software of the multimedia branch of the internet while working in the shadow of the Swiss Alps at the CERN Physics Laboratory in Geneva. It was there in 1989, 31 years ago, can you believe it? 31 years ago, where he first proposed his big idea to create a common language that would open hyperlinks between all the various networks, and by the early 1990s had created the World Wide Web Consortium. And Sir Tim decided to make the web available for free. Free. Yes, Sir Tim Berners-Lee is a Unitarian. It is one of the notable ironies of net history because while Berners-Lee chose not to cash in on his invention, countless new business models use this platform and e-commerce shapes our modern world of finance, and many dot-coms certainly cashed in. In his book, Weaving the Web, The Original Design and Ultimate Destiny of World Wide Web by its inventor, it's an ambitious title, he expresses some irritation at being asked why he didn't go for internet gold. He says, "What is maddening is the terrible notion that a person's value depends on how important and financially successful they are, and that it's measured in terms of money." He says, "That suggests disrespect for the researchers across the globe developing ideas for the next leaps in science and technology." He was offended. "I wanted to see the web proliferate, not sink my life's hours into worrying over a product release." He spent years giving of his talent and influence to develop the technical integrity of the web, and he is still constantly reinforcing the foundations of the structure he created in order to ensure the flow of information and access remains universal, keeping the wolves that threaten freedom at bay. And while Sir Tim gave his invention away and is a supporter of free internet access, it's safe to say he is not poor. His generosity of spirit has had immeasurable rewards, but not only for him. Now, you all know that this is a stewardship Sunday. There is a budget meeting and super soups to be had. So you also know I'm going to talk about money, right? Let's start with a joke. So, preacher, one Sunday, before the offering, says, if everyone puts a $5 bill in the collection plate, we can afford to buy a clock for the back of the sanctuary. If everyone puts $10 in the collection plate, we'll plug that clock in. If everyone puts a $20 bill in the collection plate, then I'll promise to look at the clock while delivering the sermon. Huh? All right. So what wisdom do we glean from our three little pigs story today? We all have to go out into the wild world looking for safety and security and love and stability, learning as we go, testing our abilities, adapting and improving along the way. First, they tried a quick and easy straw house. Good enough, but insufficient. I've been there. And then next, okay, let's try with sticks. Let's weave something together. Put a little more thought into it. Not really heavy lifting yet, but a bit of effort. Looks better. Took a bit more energy. But nope. Still not going to work. But that last pig decides to really invest in her vision of building to last. Actually creating the bricks from hand and infusing integrity into the structure. And it takes patience. It takes time. It takes planning. It takes teamwork. It takes heavy lifting. It takes math, resources. You can't fake it. You can't shortcut it. You can't get around the fact that there's effort and resources involved. And then it works. It works. And it's so much more than a brick house. So much more. And what holds this place together is not the structure of this inaccessible building. It is the purpose and integrity of the community within its walls and the community outside of its walls that are to be reached and served in other ways. The president of Andover Newton Theological School, Reverend Nick Carter, he teaches a class called Show Me the Money. Yeah, not too subtle. What I'm going to share with you is from the course outline. He says that his ministry is to help people give money to their values. Congregations need money to accomplish their goals, says Nick, and to live out their mission and make their vision real. And he says to build the kingdom of God right here, right now. It's about the money. Money makes things possible. The church needs money. You want to teach people peace and how to love one another? The church needs money. You want to provide opportunities to learn conflict resolution instead of violence? The church needs money. You want to stop global warming? The church needs money. You want to feed and shelter and clothe God's children? The church needs money. You want a religious home of your own in which to grow your soul so that you can work for the things you believe in? You know what I'm going to say? Say it with me. The church needs money. So this is all true. But what's also true is that giving money to the church is not about meeting the financial needs of the church. The stewardship drive is an opportunity to fulfill our human need to give. It's not about the budget, the dream budget or the adequate budget or the middle budget or the balanced budget. A budget is simply a tool to express and assess the priorities and potential and vision of an organization. It's a tool to be used as a visionary process. The stewardship campaign is a time for us to assess our own spiritual growth as givers, as individual givers, as household givers, as a giving congregation. And you are a giving congregation. To make statements of mission and workable vision that says who we are, how we want to be with each other, to make promises to one another, to pledge. It's a sign of who this congregation is in the world, to each other and your relationship to whatever it is you call holy. The Buddhist teacher and author Jack Kornfield, he tells us, we all have, without exception, a very deep longing to give to the earth, to give to others, to give to society, to work, to love, to care for this earth. It's true of every human being. And even the ones who don't find it, it's because it has been squashed or somehow suppressed in some brutal way in their life. But it's there to be discovered, he says, and we all long for that. And there's a tremendous sorrow for a human being who doesn't find a way to give. One of the worst human sufferings is not to find a way to love, or a place to work and give of your heart and of your being. The words of Jack Kornfield. And our words. From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and from this we live. We sing these words following the offertory, after sharing gifts of money to sustain and nourish the ministry of this congregation, to one another and in this community. So much more is given and received than only money. Every human exchange, every moment spent in creating our beautiful music, helping to set up the coffee or making soups. Every moment shared listening to someone. Helping to celebrate a special milestone. Checking in. Every moment and instant of affirming the value of one another as an individual and as a community is what we give and what we receive and what we share in order to live fully. It is the nature and value of these gifts that determine the structural integrity, the mortar of this fellowship, and whether it can sustain and stand against the storms and the winds and the wolves, to be able to provide shelter and to continue to be there for the generations to come. Safety, a place to grow, to celebrate, to connect with one another and practice our faith and raise children in our tradition. It has so much potential and promise. Our Unitarian Universalist faith is a religion for these times, is it not? So I say to you, that we must cultivate it with intention and generous spirit.